Welcome to the Joe Thomas in the Morning podcast. I can say that with some authority, being Joe Thomas. What is about to follow are highlights strung together in context of this morning show on WCHV Radio in Charlottesville. You can stream it online anytime at WCHV.com or download the new smartphone app, which also gives you access to these podcasts. Who knows? That may be how you got here in the first place.
I'm CBS 19 meteorologist Jack Durkin for Seaville 107.5 and 1260 WCHV.
So Joe finally did it. Didn't use Charlottesville as a campaign prop, thank goodness.
Your words had to steal me, which damn near every day. Leaves for work when the sun comes up, drops the kids to school along the way. Joe has everything he dreamed of, all the treasures that he needs. No wonder Joe's always smiling. He only aims to please you. Yeah. I wanna be your Joe.
So for our sake, I yet again get to be our only Joe this morning for this conversation. 434-964-1075. One of my favorite people, and I can't believe how long it's been since we broadcasted from the grand opening of the Learning RX. And I remember when I met Dargan the first time, and he explained to me where this was all coming from, and being a parent of somebody who, for bless their heart, they were coming from the right place. I had people telling me, "Oh, your son's going to need special treatment, and he's ADHD, and we're going to need to get medications, and blah blah blah." And I was just dumbstruck because I didn't want that. And then hearing about the Learning RX and reading the books that they're based on it, I just fell in love. It was one of those like, you had me at hello. But Dargan Cogswell from the Learning RX is back in the house, sporting the Michael Jordan, the Bruce Willis look these days. You're looking good, my friend. How you doing?
Lean and mean.
That's right. You got some stunning stuff. And what's been interesting over the last few years, and I've been quiet about some of it because it's been in process. I'm not Jeff Fogel. I don't need to see everything, you know, before it's done. That you've been working behind the scenes on research that backs up what you guys have seen in practice at the Learning RX.
Correct. I mean, 9 years ago when we opened the clinic.
I feel so much younger now, yeah. Dargan. Thank you.
So, a lot of the pushback, especially in the academic communities, was, well, you need the independent peer-reviewed research to back up the claims that you're making. Fast forward 9 years later, we have 8 peer-reviewed journal articles. We have 3 randomized controlled trial studies. So we're doing medical-grade research, like when you administer biopharmaceuticals, where you have control
blind,
exactly,
yeah.
And are able to make some very bold claims about what our program does in terms of cognitive functioning and the transfer effect on academics. So yeah, we've gone away, we're doing our research, and we're building a body of evidence that is undeniable.
Well, and certainly the word of mouth, folks like myself who've gone through it and have seen the impact, or parents who have seen it as well. Dee Dee Smith is here with Dargan. Good to see you, Dee Dee. How
are you
doing?
Good morning.
So talk about your response when you see the actual statistical data that comes out of process like this, and is it a head slapper to say, boy, I wish we had known this before, but at least maybe it's something we can put to use now?
Well, I'm intrigued by the Learning RX process. But my interest really goes towards even more generally literacy. It's been a fight of mine for years, and the failure of our local schools, public schools, to teach literacy to the children who need it most. And so my interest in Learning RX and other interventions is that I think it is time for the schools to go outside their own system to catch up and be sure that every child is reading by the third grade.
It's interesting because you talk to a teacher who, you know, bless them, I take heed anytime I take the side of teachers, but you're in a room with 17 marginally interested youth. I mean, I had tough enough times at dinner with three, and they were related to me. I can only imagine trying to engage 17 kids, all with 17 different biologies and 17 different backgrounds, and trying to find the thing that resonates with each one of them. And I think this gives you an arrow in the quiver to say, okay, Joey is falling behind, but it's not because he isn't trying hard. So maybe there's something else. Maybe he's spinning those wheels in the mud, and there's something that's just not getting through is what I think you're talking about.
Oh, right, it Gina? Absolutely is. And I don't think we can put all this on our classroom teachers. We know that we have children who, for whatever reason, are coming into our system behind or are falling behind. And to say a classroom teacher who has 17, 20 children in her or his classroom should be able to catch a child up by 2-3 grade levels isn't fair, really. Mm-hmm. I do think we can expect teachers to advance children one grade, as is assumed. Mm-hmm. But particularly for our children at risk, who by huge numbers of them aren't catching up. And we all know the research says that if you do not catch up by the if you're not reading on grade level by the third grade, it is very difficult, very unlikely that you're ever going to catch up.
Well, we look at, was it several years ago, I'm not sure if it was before or after you were on city council, it may have been before, they set up a fund on the school budget to teach remedial reading to, and the phrase just screamed out in neon, recent high school graduates remedial reading. I'm like, well, hold it. How did they become recent high school graduates? but there's, you know, now you're talking about 15 years or 10 years worth of struggling that a lot of kids have just thrown up the white flag and said, I guess I'm just one of those, quote, dumb kids, when it's really not the case. And in my case, I had a real bad case of CRS, and Dargan was able through his testing to figure out why my little brain was working like Lucy and Ethel in the chocolate factory, and I was only getting 2 out of every 10 little morsels of, you know, information and storing it. I want to talk about how this relates and come back. LearningRx.com/Charlottesville is still the website 9 years later, right, Dargan?
Correct.
We'll come right back on this, but, you know, rubber meets the road in some of this stuff on Joe Thomas in the Morning.
Every day. Seville 107.5 FM and AM 1260 WCHV.
We're visiting with our friends at the Learning Rx, Dargan Conchal, Dee Dee Smith, and we're talking about the stats. And Dee Dee, longtime city councilor, the Charlottesville schools are not unique in many ways because so many of our municipalities are struggling with this. But Charlottesville schools certainly have, you know, a lot of kids who are getting left behind by the time they're in fourth grade, aren't they?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, hundreds, really, if you look at by the time they get to high school, which is, you know, the point at which the schools really focus their attention because they want to say they can graduate these children. Mm-hmm. Yet when too many of our Charlottesville High School graduates can't even pass the test to get into Piedmont Community College.
Yep.
I mean, this to me is a metric that is so important. I don't think you should be able to get a degree if you can't pass the test. Well, that should be one that they have to take.
And you know, this is the sad thing, though. It costs so much more money to remediate that in high school than to get out ahead of it. I mean, it's not even a dollar-for-dollar trade-off. I mean, it's a dollar for $10. Right, spend right. $1 in first grade or $10 in high school. It's crazy. So, Dargan, you know, the statistics are starting to, you know, mound up on cognitive disconnect in the schools and how we can fix it. Can the schools use LearningRx? Can we develop an educational version of it? Because I know that you've been monastic about saying you're not an educational program, you're not supplanting tutoring or anything like that.
Correct. It's very transportable and very mobile. And, you know, it's my position that, and as Dee Dee referenced, these kids from these disadvantaged backgrounds, they come into the system, and it could be because of poor prenatal health. It could be because of a home situation that is not cognitively stimulating. It could be that the parents don't read to the child or can't read, or, and so these kids come into a system where we say by third grade, you have to be passing a standardized reading assessment. They don't even know their sounds. They can't even blend sounds together.
Shapes, you know, the or shapes of
or
the building
hold things in their working memory or think fluently. And so they come in with a disadvantaged tool set. They're put into this system. And then by eighth grade, you know, again, if you're not reading on grade level at the end of third grade, 75% will never read on grade level. And that's just alarming. No, and so the New York Times article that came out that exposed what is happening in our privileged community shocked me. And that's why Dee Dee and I connected.
Well, tell me about that. I barely get time to read the Daily Progress.
It came out in October, I believe, in the New York Times. It was a ProPublica investigative collaboration with the New York Times, and these they sent them to me, actually, the people they were talking to in Charlottesville, and they came because of August 12th.
Mm-hmm.
They said, we want to look
deeper.
Oh,
this is off that ProPublica piece on August 12th. So this is after the fact, because I know they published the piece about Charlottesville schools and their racial issues.
But this is adjunct to that, and they knew so much when they came in, and they were shocked. They were shocked at the degree of segregation, at the degree of...
But is it segregation, or is it just... You know, because to me, segregation takes on the implication of somebody is doing it intentionally. Somebody is saying, all right, these kids are going to get to this access, and these kids aren't. And I worry about treading that line, because I don't think anyone in Charlottesville school is sorting through kids saying, it's been decades since the mass resistance. So, these kids go again.
But it's de facto segregation if children are being tracked early on, if they're not being successfully... intervened, if you will, if the interventions mm-hmm. are not working. I mean, it's a bit of a life sentence when you go into
I don't
the school's
disagree. But I think, at this point, I'd like to just see it without the easy attention getting racial factor, because I think there are kids who are, myself included, white kid, grew up, lower middle class part of Queens. I very easily, and a lot of my friends, wound up on that track. So how do we get do we make it available? Do we give everyone a cognitive assessment at first grade?
I went before the school board recently and said, my proposal is you use all this intervention money that you're spending year after year after mm-hmm. year on the same children, and you focus your attention on that K-3 cohort, because most of our children in the eighth grade, look at just at our current eighth grade, 3/4 of them have been with the school system since that time. There's really at that point only a handful of children who still need intervention at the eighth grade if you've caught them up.
Right.
By the third grade.
Well, it's I was talking about is the, if it's, you can pay me $10 in high school on, per whatever, just using a number, or $1 in first grade.
Right.
And it's fiscally sound. I mean, on top of it.
And so I've just sort of thrown up my hands and say, your interventions are been proven not to work, even at that early level. So go outside the system. Use your funds outside. Go to a business model that actually is accountable. Businesses can't keep...
Shocked.
I know. I mean, the schools apparently can fail and still get millions and millions more each year by failing. And so let's go to a system that can't do that.
Right. And what you wind up with is something that I've talked about in the past, is when you wind up with a class of folks who can't read, can't do math. I mean, everything is written in a book. It's something we've talked about with reading, with the United Way, where they'll be in later on, and things like that. Is everything is written somewhere. If you leave a kid behind in reading, now they can't figure out history. They can't figure out what their rights are. Don't even talk to them about the Bill of Rights. They can't read it. So what, you're leaving them as, prey almost for anyone who wants to manipulate them, because they can't figure it out from, you know, they can't go and read it for themselves. So,
and they've been told year after year after year in their school years that they can't do it. I mean, that's the other real harm that's done, besides just not having good literacy.
Is there support on the school board for it? I haven't heard, you know, support on the city council for it. The city council barely ever talks about the school board anymore.
Oh, I doubt there is, but I keep saying it over and over. I mean, at some point, I think we're going to look back and say, oh my God. I mean, look at our failure rate, and look at where it's happening. You know, the other, I think, just...
Does Rosa get this? I mean, have you talked to Rosa Atkins about this?
You know, in her quotes in the paper, she seems to get it. But yeah, now I've talked to Rosa Atkins over and over. They just accepted then. I mean, the party line is it's the family's fault. We failed the families. Yeah,
The funny thing is somebody will say that at Charlottesville schools, and they'll ascribe something like to a quote person like me saying, "Well, you conservatives always believe it's on the family." Well, no, everybody is involved in education. If there are school buildings, we're all involved in it, and if we're all paying at high school level to try to help a kid not go down the wrong track, because you're just talking about guaranteeing that MS-13 has an in with them. Or any other criminal element can get at them as well. LearningRx.com, find out more about that. I don't know if, you know, giving everybody a cognitive exam at the beginning, but it sure as hell helped me, and finding out, you know, which one of these 20 or 30 kids needs some sort of intervention.
I think what we're really proposing here is let's do a randomized controlled test in the schools. They've got their early interventions. Let's, you know, randomly assign children to private intervention services versus the school's intervention services.
Let's see
what happens.
I'm all for it. You know, like I said, I've been through the program. I saw what it did
Let
for me.
Science prove it.
That takes the politician out of it. Dargan, come on now. Dee Dee, it's great to catch up with you again.
It was great to have you on,
Dargan,
Joe.
It's always good to catch up with you. LearningRx.com.